know what we voted on and remind you our vision. Grace Community's vision is to bring people to Christ through sound doctrine based on God's never-changing word. And so have a little time there. Just read the insert. Now, for those who are real sharp, you know that I'm doing a series on Ephesians. And I did have a message prepared on Ephesians 2, the second half. But in the middle of the week, I decided to change the message. That's my prerogative. And so we're going to preach on depression today. Should have a little PowerPoint up there. If there's no technology problems. It's loaded and up. Oh, great. Depression. You know why I did this? Because I've encountered a number of people that are depressed. And I'm trying to encourage them. And so I thought, hey, depression is a real problem. In fact, statistically, 17 million people that they know of annually suffer with depression. 17 million Americans will seek help in the year for depression. 97% of American population will encounter depression in their lifetime. 97%. So I'm going to be preaching to 97% of you. You have experienced depression even if you're not depressed now. So it's an issue that we're all going to deal with. And so before we jump into depression, I thought I'd illustrate a little funny story here. Frank and Mabel had been married for 40 years. Frank turned 60 a few months earlier, and now they were celebrating Mabel's 60th birthday. During the birthday party, Frank walked into another room and was surprised to meet his fairy godmother. And she said, "Frank, this is your lucky day. I'm here to grant you one wish and one wish only. What would you like?" And he thought for a moment and said, "Well, I would really like to have a wife who is 30 years younger than me." And fairy godmother said, "No problem." Poof! And Frank was 90 years old. And Frank was a little depressed, too, after that. So, volumes have been written on depression. And depression, actually, it's hard to define because it goes from what we might call the blahs, down in the dumps for a little bit, to severe clinical depression, where you actually have to be hospitalized. And there are many varying definitions based on where you might be in that spectrum. Here's one definition. Depression is a hopelessness that's not consistent with reality, an emotional condition with exaggerated feelings of sadness and hopelessness. A person feels so negative that they feel overwhelmed by the circumstances of their life. And as I mentioned, they say 97% of us at some point, at some time, are going to be depressed along the spectrum. And so this morning we're going to look at, and it's pretty basic, and as I said, 17 million people annually suffer with depression. So it's a real problem. So what are the causes? Four causes of depression. Obviously, there may be more. This isn't exhaustive. But basically, if you came to see me and said you were depressed, the first thing I would ask you is, have you seen your doctor? Because the number one reason, it seems, is we have physical problems that create depression. And we kind of are learning that through medical studies, but the way our body is created, there are certain chemicals that we absolutely need in our brain to function properly. And if those chemicals get out of balance, all the praying in the world isn't going to cure you unless God changes the chemical imbalance. What we're saying is you have a medical problem. Like if you had an infection and you needed an antibiotic to cure the infection. And they have discovered that there are certain things that they can give to help and to assist and to even as it were, maintain people's chemical imbalance so they don't struggle with depression. And so there's chemicals in your brain that you vitally need. There are hormones that God has given to us to operate and to function with. And if those hormones aren't doing their job properly, if they get out of whack for some reason, you can be struggling with depression. Also, they've discovered that we need certain nutrients, certain vitamins, and if we eat incorrectly, if we don't eat properly or we lack certain nutrients, we can be depressed. So the first thing to remember is we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and if something's out of line, you need to see your doctor and have him check you out, and maybe a prescription will certainly help. Now, as we move on biblically, there are other reasons why we can become depressed, which are not physical, but they have the same symptoms, the same effects, the same outcome in the life. It's just a different cause. So they say, secondly, actually by way of ranking them, is a pessimistic outlook. A pessimistic outlook. God's word says if we become negatively oriented and we're so pessimistic and we're down in the dumps and we don't want encouraging words, we will be depressed. I have met people like that. I bet you've met people like that. No matter what you say to encourage them, no matter what positive thing is, they're mad, they're not happy, they're down in the dumps, they're critical, they're complaining, things are just not right. And that kind of mindset, that kind of thinking, that kind of behavior then creates an environment where that person will be depressed. And God tells you, you know, not to be pessimistic. And also, another cause of depression is a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience. Throughout the Word of God, God tells us even David became severely depressed because his conscience convicted him of his sin of adultery and murder, and it just overwhelmed him. When you go out and sin, you may get away with it. That is, everybody who sins doesn't necessarily have the law after them. So if you transgress, you break God's word, you sin, you disobey, and nobody discovers it. Nobody knows that you did wrong. But all of a sudden, you're depressed because that wrong seems to start haunting you, and it starts pulling you down into the pit of despair or the slough of despond or whatever, or the dark, rainy clouds that come into your life. A guilty conscience. God's word tells us that. So if you sin, you can become depressed. Leaving God out. Number four, leaving God out. Now, when you think about it, you know, sometimes we say we're Christians, and I'm not doubting that we are, but even as Christians, we have a tendency at times to leave God out because of our old nature. Because of the way we are, we just want to be in charge. We want to be in control. Wonder if God tells me to do something and I don't want to. It's like, hey, I'm driving down the road and God says, I think you ought to make a right up here. And you say, well, Lord, I'm going over to this place over here. I don't have time or whatever reason under the sun. And you can just sort of leave God out and say, another time. God tells us that at times we leave him out. And if we leave God out and take control of our lives and difficulties come and problems come, we can become depressed and it can overwhelm us. And then all of a sudden we're suffering because we haven't talked to Jesus about it. Notice when we read Psalm 77, throughout that psalm, actually at the end of some of the verses here, at the end of verse 3 and throughout the psalm, you see the word Selah. We don't generally read it in English. It's a Hebrew term. Actually, the word means pause and reflect. So technically, when the psalmist wrote this, what he was saying is, when you got to the end of verse 3 and he wrote Selah, when he got to the end of verse 9 he wrote Selah, when he got to the end of verse 15 he wrote Selah, right there in the text, it's actually in the text. What he's actually saying is, pause and reflect. Go back and read what you've just read and read it again, but more slowly, reflecting about what you actually read. Because sometimes we can read and we can actually read it, but we don't really reflect. We don't really think about it, and we don't really get the full impact. So in this psalm here, he's telling them to go back to reflect. So what are four consequences of depression? And they're similar, obviously, some of them to the cause, not the physical, of course. And there are men throughout Scripture who loved God but were depressed. So we know this is biblical. We know people who know God get depressed. We know people who love the Lord can be depressed. Jeremiah was one depressed individual. I mean, read his book. I mean, he trusted in God, loved God, was a servant of God, and yet he is known as the crying prophet because he was crying all the time. He was down in the dumps all the time. David was depressed, as we know. Elijah was one depressed individual, as we'll see. So, and obviously, you know, God puts this in his word, but also it's interesting if you go to medical books, which I did this week, and you go to medical descriptions, and it's kind of ironic almost, as these medical descriptions will describe the symptoms of a depressed person, and you see the same characteristics already described in the Bible. That is, they have taken what the Bible has said, put it in a medical textbook, and they don't even give credit to the Bible or quote their sources. Some of the symptoms, as we would say, withdrawal. We would withdraw from people. It's like when we're depressed, maybe normally we like a little bit of fellowship. We like to enjoy one another. We enjoy our children, our grandchildren, our family. When depression comes, one of the major symptoms is to withdraw. I don't want to be around those people. No, I don't want to eat with those people. I don't want to take coffee with those people. No, I just want to go sit in my chair. I just want to go lie down in my bed. I just want to be alone, withdraw. You know, it's interesting, as we are trying to grow and improve our ministry, one of our objectives that we worked on is to provide care for one another. So as God's people, we should be alert to people who may be hurting, who may be withdrawing, and we should be there for them. We should provide an environment, a safe environment for them to share their feelings and how they are hurting. That's what we're here for, you know, and we can do it in various ministries throughout the church. But we got to remember, we're here for one another. We're here to encourage one another, not to tear one another down. Remember that. So let's be a loving people. And so if you know somebody who seems to be withdrawing, then you should be there to encourage them. Major symptom, if they start withdrawing and that isn't their normal pattern or behavior, think depression. Something's bothering them. Well, let's see another symptom of depression. Become negative oriented. All the experts say if you are really a negative oriented person, especially like in the ministry, and we say, here, let's try this, and before you ever try it, you will say, that won't work. That won't work. And you gripe and you complain and you criticize and you're always negative. And you're always trying to find the negative. You don't want to be positive. You could be depressed and struggling with depression. Negative-oriented people, one of their negativity is a sign of depression. Something deep inside of them has got a hold of them. And so they don't want to trust God to bless them. They don't want to trust God to be positive or uplifting. They will always want to be down in the dumps. And you probably have met people like that. That's a sign and a symptom of depression. Third symptom is we tend to forget God's provision as believers. As we're not looking at secular society, but as believers, We forget God's provision. Depressed Christians who don't have a medical problem, biological, but if you're depressed for another reason, you have forgotten God's provision. It's like this. Let me give you an illustration so we can relate to it. Elijah was a man of God. Now, Elijah as a man of God, let's compare it to terms we can relate to, was having the Super Bowl on Mount Carmel. So it was Elijah against the prophets of Baal. Super Bowl Sunday. And guess what? The opponent, the prophets of Baal, they won the toss and they got the ball first. So the contest was this. There's going to be two altars with two sacrifices upon them. And the God who consumes the sacrifice with fire, because you can do anything you want to yours except strike a match to it. And so the prophets of Baal prayed and paraded around and shouted and mutilated themselves and called on Baal to take their sacrifice. And he didn't. I mean, obviously he couldn't because he doesn't exist except in the mind of idolaters. There is no Baal. And so after a number of hours trying to score, they didn't score. Elijah, it's your turn with the ball. He gets up real quick. Here's the kickoff. Oh God, I'm paraphrasing it, come on down and take your sacrifice. And man, on the kickoff was a touchdown. Elijah won the Super Bowl. Ecstatic. And the enemy was wiped out. Hey, he was on a high. Next day, Jezebel, she heard about the loss. So she got on the phone and she called him up. She said, Elijah, I got your number. You are a dead man. I am going to cut you up. You better... we're coming for you today. This is your last day. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing it, but that's essentially what she said. Elijah hung up the phone. He said, man, I'm up the creek. This woman's going to get me. I got to get out of town. And he ran into the desert depressed. Yesterday he won the Super Bowl. And then one day later he's depressed. Might be some cause and effect. Don't take phone calls from women. I don't know. But he was really depressed. And he ran out there. What did he do? I mean, how dumb. I always read that and think, how dumb can you be? You were just on Mount Carmel yesterday and God consumed the sacrifice instantaneously on the kickoff. You won the game. And then 24 hours you're running into the desert depressed. Man, you really forgot God quick. Hey, how many of us forget what God has done for us? And then an adversity comes, a problem. And hey, I know a number of you are struggling with different problems. We all have problems. And all of a sudden, we get depressed. That's a symptom. That's a consequence of depression. Next symptom or consequence. It robs us of our sleep. It tells us that in Psalm 77:4, where he had a hard time keeping his eyelids closed. Job also had a little bit of depression, and he says in Job 7:4, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? But the night continues, and I am continually tossing until dawn. Job was depressed, and in his depression, he just was sleepless. He probably, if he slept outside, he looked up and saw the stars and he just couldn't sleep. He woke up at 3 a.m. Maybe it was 2 a.m. And that clock was ticking awful slow. Every minute was an hour. And saying, oh, when will the dawn come? And it just didn't come. When you're depressed and you're sleepless in the middle of the night, you want the dawn to come. And it seems to take forever to come. Sleeplessness can be a sign, a symptom, a cause of depression. And the bottom line here is, and this is serious and sad because even Christians have done this at times, is because they allow depression to get so overwhelming and get the victory, they become suicidal and some even succeed in taking their own life. Hey, Elijah won the Super Bowl. And there he was within a day saying, Lord, death is better for me than life. He was depressed and suicidal. And that's one of the risks you have to be careful of all the time, because people, they get depressed, and if they get severely depressed, their thinking gets all confused, and they become so hopeless, they begin to think only death is the answer. And that's so sad, because they could be cured, but they could have faith in God and get victory, but instead they kill themselves. God does not want you to commit suicide. God does not want you to commit suicide under any circumstances or how bad you're feeling. So here are again some suggestions for ways to help. Some ways, some solutions. Obviously, there could be more and more detail, but what we have here are some basic ideas if you are depressed or dealing with a depressed person. Now, we're not talking about, I have to stress this so people don't be confused. If you have a medical reason for depression, these might help, but you do need the medication. That's different. So we're not talking to that individual, that group in that sense, but these will always help people who are depressed. First thing is you need food and rest, which means you need the proper nutrition, the proper sleep, the proper exercise for your body. In essence, take care of yourself. And so you need food and rest. We are, as I said, fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has constructed our bodies that we need a certain amount of food and a certain amount of rest, and exercise is good too. Second thing we need to remember is we need to be confronted with the truth. That is, when we say the truth, I mean to sit down and say, God doesn't want you depressed. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care what the situation is. God didn't mosey into your room and say, I want you depressed. God does not want his children depressed. Notice Elijah. One depressed character because of this situation, because Jezebel was after him. He ran and ran and then finally hid in a cave. He was so depressed. And God finally got his attention, and it says that God his attention by speaking to him in a still small voice. Hey, God is going to speak to us too in a still small voice. And if he does, it's going to come in a rebuke if you're depressed. And he's going to say, as he said to Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Hey, I didn't tell you to come here. I told you to go over there. I told you to do that ministry. I told you to do that. I told you to do this. I didn't tell you to go over here and sit down and mope and immerse yourself in self-pity. Remember, God has told us to be involved. He's given us a ministry. You have the most marvelous message and ministry that God wants for you. He does. Most of the times, we put it on the back burner. We put it on the shelf, and we're not doing it. But God wants us to be working for him, and he wants us to be involved, and he does. Next thing, people. We need to be involved with people. Dr. Carl Menninger, he was a famous psychiatrist, and he was doing a lecture one time, and they asked him, as we would paraphrase it today, they asked him, what would you advise a person who was in severe depression or felt severe depression coming on? And he said this, you know, and they all expected him to go see their psychiatrist. And this is what he said, Dr. Menninger, and this is a quote. Lock up your house, go across the railroad tracks, find somebody in need, and help that person. What essentially is he saying is get involved with people. If you feel like you're depressed, God has also called us to be involved with others, not to withdraw. There is somebody out there you can help. There is somebody else out there who will talk to you and be with you. We are here for one another. But you have to take the initiative as the depressed person. You got to get up off your buns and say, I'm going to go and be involved. I'm going to go talk to somebody. I'm going to go and minister. I'm going to teach. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be helping other people, and I'm going to be doing what the Lord wants me to do. So remember, be involved. Listen to God. Listen to God. He wants to speak to you. He speaks to us through His Word, and He tells us to pray. So remember, pray. You've got to pray. So wrapping it up with applications, we would say pretty basically, God doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't. If you are, He doesn't want you to be. He wants you to be involved with people. He wants you to pray faithfully, believing. The psalmist here was praying, and throughout the scriptures, I could just quote verse after verse, where God tells us to be praying to Him and bringing our requests before Him and worshiping Him and honoring Him in prayer. Do you know something? Most depressed people don't pray. Most depressed people don't pray. Or if they do pray, it's like assigning guilt for their situation. Lord, why have you made this happen to me? Why, Lord, am I down in the dumps? Lord, why are they treating me so badly at work? That's not what God wants you to do. He says, I want you to pray in faith, believing, trusting Him. God has something good for you, and He does. Now, remember the little verse that says, Selah, after all of those, it says, pause and reflect. I think what he is saying here, too, throughout your life, pause and reflect. Don't be in such a rush. We're in a hurry-up society. We are. We're in a hurry. We want everything done in a hurry. Hey, listen, God's not necessarily in a hurry, and His time is not necessarily on our time schedule. He's different. But He says to each of us, pause and reflect. Look back over your life. I have taken care of you. Look back. God took care of you then. God blessed you then. God blessed you then. Yeah, there might have been a little adversity. There might have been a little obstacle. You gained victory over that. Another obstacle. You gained victory over that. Pause and reflect. Look back at what God has done for you. That's what he's saying. Pause and reflect. Remember, God wants to help you. And so, it says in Psalm 77:15, Thou hast by thy arm redeemed thy people. Defeat depression ultimately with the help of God, because God wants to help you. Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that each of us at various times are encountered by this feeling of depression that comes sweeping over us and we feel helpless. I pray for each one here who has encountered such an enemy, that you give them victory through Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, you would take care of their depression by giving them light and hope. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll close by singing 488, Just As I Am, first and last, 488.